got from a pastor, Pastor Kenny Kuykendall, and he, I can't remember the title, Principles and Parables or something like that, something catchy. And of course, he did a great job laying it out. And of course, as I read the chapter on this parable, and then read the Bible, and then of course some of the things that were in his book, and then some of the things that the Lord laid on my heart, we have for you tonight. But it's in Luke 6, and we'll read verses 46 through 49. And just like the other two, you know, the other two was the seed and the sower, and then we saw the wheat and the tare. And of course, Jesus gave the parable. It was in the red letter edition, and then he explained it a little bit later on those other two. And like he even said that the seed was the Word of God, and that's, you know, he was given an example of a seed that you might plant in the ground, like a corn seed or a wheat seed or something that you might sow. But he was saying that, you know, I'm talking about the Word of God that we're supposed to sow. And it falls on stony ground and it doesn't take root. And it falls in the worldly and it gets entangled with the thorns. And he explained it. This one, he didn't explain it, but I don't think it actually needs to be explained. It's kind of like right there. And so, you know, I'm not trying to think for God, but there's a reason that he didn't explain this one. And I believe it is because it's just plain as day. And I think we could catch it. We don't have to see the hidden meaning. He basically says, so in verse 46, it says here, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so we see people coming to the Lord and, you know, trying to get his attention. Lord, Lord, if you ever say somebody's, you know, right, I don't know that you say your child's name twice. You might say all three of their names. In our day and time, you know, if I ever heard James Robert Stanley, you know, I got the cold chills up my backbone, and, you know, I knew I was in trouble. And I was just trying to figure out which thing they had found out. All right, I knew there was probably several, and I didn't want to go to confessing things, amen? But I was like, oh no, which one? And so forth. But here, you know, that's what they were doing. And there are several places in the Bible where Jesus says, Simon, Simon, or, you know, Mary, Mary. I don't know if that was the one, but, you know, they said things like that to try to get your attention. And that's what he said here, you know, why you call me Lord, Lord? You know, why are you coming to me? And then he says to them, because, you know, you're coming to me. And the reason you're coming to me, I know why you're in trouble. Because pretty much what he's saying is you're not doing what the Bible says. You know, again, you know, if you keep doing wrong, you're going to keep getting wrong. If you keep not adhering to the Word of God, you know, you're going to get the same results. And, you know, again, not all of us are engineers. But I think we are all smart enough to figure out, you know, if you keep putting data in, that same data is going to come out. And if you don't want that data to come out, you need to change the data that's going in, right? And so if you keep, you know, not setting an alarm and not waking up in the morning and not going to work, you're going to get fired. And so, okay, let's see. What should I learn from this? Okay, here's my next job. If I'm still going to not set an alarm and I'm still going to not wake up and I'm still going to be late for work, I'm probably going to lose that job too. So what I'm doing, unless I change it, it's not going to fix it. And that's what he's saying. You know, you coming to me saying, you know, God, you got to fix this. You know, God, you got to help me. And, you know, he was like, look, you've been taught what to do. And if you're not going to do it, don't come and ask me to bail you out. I've already told you what you should do and what would help. And so that's what he's saying. And it says in verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you who he is like. All right. So here's he's saying, look, I'm going to explain to you these other people that's not coming to me saying, bail me out, or not coming to me saying, Lord, Lord, you've got to fix this. Let me show you what they've done. And the reason, that's why the Bible, I mean, verse after verse just pops into my head. You know, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. So if you live in sin, your life's going to be rough. And we were talking about that earlier before, you know, that, you know, we're not very, I'm not anyway, very good guessers of age. how old do you think I am? I don't want to go there. All right, especially if you're a lady. All right, so I don't want to die. But same thing. You know, sometimes I've guessed people. 65, 40. What's wrong with you? All right, but they've lived a life of sin. And so they're just like sin is taking a toll on their body, and so forth. So that's what he's saying here. Is look, I'm gonna explain to you why things are going okay, not perfect. We're gonna see that both of these people, a storm hit them, boom. The Bible even says vehemently, like severe. So the ones that did right, storm. The ones that did wrong, storm. They're both going to face a storm. But we see that he's explaining to them, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. So in other words, this person went to Sunday school, heard what God said, applied it to their life. This person went to church and heard what the preacher preached and what God says in His Bible, applied it to their life. Didn't get them out of the storm. Didn't get them a bed of roses. But they're able to handle the storm. They're able to handle the situation. But here's the person that didn't go to Sunday school, or they went and just didn't apply it. Here's the person that didn't go to church, or did go to church and heard, but didn't apply it. And that's who he's comparing here. So he says, look, the person that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, you got to help me. Why? I've told you in the Bible what you ought to do, and you're not doing it. Here's a person that comes to me and says, Lord, I need your help. Verse 48. He is like a man which built a house. Right? And the house here represents the Christian life or our life. And it says here, he diggeth deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So in other words, he went to Sunday school as often as he could. He went to church as often as he could. He went to revival meeting as often as he could. He had personal devotions as often as he could. And maybe he's digging deep. He's working. All right. Now he laid his foundation, or he built his life on that rock. And when the flood arose, so didn't guarantee that the flood wouldn't happen, but the stream beat vehemently upon his that house and could not shake it. So a lot of times we see people that are, they grew up in Sunday school, they went to church all their life, and they heard it. And not only did they hear it, they applied it. They did it. Then that storm comes, bam! It doesn't shake them. Right, yes, they're hurt, they're sad, they're mourning, but they still believe in God. They still do the right thing. They still act right. They still say right. How are you handling that? Because they dug deep, and it couldn't be shook. And it says here, and for it was founded upon the rock. And we know Jesus said that to Peter. Hey, Peter, upon this rock right here. And Jesus was pointing to himself, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. It won't be able to shake it. It won't be. And so that's what he was saying here. Look, if you want to live the Christian life and not be flattened by the storms and not be flooded by the floods and not be in the way of a transgressor's heart, you got to dig deep. And you got to get that foundation. You got to know what the Bible says. You got to know how to apply it. And so here I've been telling you and telling you and telling you and telling you, and you haven't been listening and you haven't been applying. So, Lord, Lord, we're going to see here in a minute that I added this verse this afternoon when I was looking back over my notes, because I read in Proverbs 28 today, kind of a sister verse to that 46 there. But let's look at verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not. So again, kind of like, I hate to keep comparing, and I hate bringing it up because it hurts my heart so bad. But two dudes grew up in the same house, had the same parents, went to the same church, had the same rules, had the same Christian school, had the same. One did what he was taught, did what his parents raised him to do. Again, doesn't bypass storms. I still have storms. Doesn't bypass floods. I still have things that overwhelm me. But with God's help, I'm not shaken. I'm not moved. My brother heard the same stuff, got the same spankings, got the same education. But he chose not to do what this book says. And he's been shaken. He's been in prison. He's still addicted. And I pray for him every day. And if he calls me, I would help him in any way I could. But you see the two choices. And that's what he said here. He that heareth and doeth it not is like a man without a foundation. In other words, he still built a house. He still has a life. And it says here, built on that house upon the earth. So just looking at him, you'd think, same, same. Gorgeous house. Gorgeous house. Maybe even this one over here. And we'll see this in my notes here. Man, I'm getting ahead of myself. This one may even be a little fancier. But if it doesn't have a foundation, when that storm comes, it's going to be leveled. So it says, against which the same stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. In other words, one couldn't be shook. One fell immediately. And it says here, and the ruin of that house was great. Why? Because same potential. Right? You take two children back there in King's Kids. Maybe the two 10-year-olds, two 9-year-olds. They're potential. But if one does what the Bible says and one doesn't do what the Bible says, you see the outcome. And so that's the importance of doing what the Bible says. I'm going to read some things here in just a minute, but you know, some people are like, this ain't a big deal. Just live life. No, it is a big deal. That's why he said, why are you calling me Lord, Lord? Let's go ahead and get involved in the introduction here. It says here, this parable was to show the difference between those who had heard the words of Jesus and didn't do them, and those that heard the words of Jesus and put them into practice and did them. That's the parable here. It says here, Jesus had been teaching that their righteousness should exceed the law. And if you go back in chapter 6, and I'll give you a couple examples here. He was like, look, I know what the Bible said. I'm the one that inspired them to write it down. So I know what you've been taught. At this point in their life, they didn't have the whole complete word. And so I know what the Old Testament says. But this is what I say. And he gave them the examples. And you can read it there. And it says here that not to just do the bare minimum, but go beyond is what he was saying. And like I say, that's what he said. If you want to be the salt of the earth, you're going to have to go beyond. It's going to take a little bit more work. You'll have to lay that foundation. If you want to be the light unto the world, you're going to have to go beyond a little bit. And so that's what he's saying. He said, I know the law says thou shalt not kill. But what I'm saying is don't even hate your brother. That's digging deep. He said, I know the Bible says don't commit adultery or fornication. But what I'm saying to you is, if you want to dig deep, don't even look in lust. I know the Bible says that, you're supposed to be kind to one another. But what I'm saying is, I think you even need to love your enemies. What? That don't even sound right. He says, I get it. Okay? I'm saying you're going to have to dig deep to live this lifestyle. And that way, when the storms come, you'll be able to handle it with my help. You won't be shaken with my help. Why? Because you'll have said, okay, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus said in the New Testament, don't even hate. I'm going to dig a little deeper. He's like, look, the Bible says not to be prideful. The Old Testament says, pride is a sin of witchcraft. All right? Rebellion and stubbornness, that's wicked. But what I'm saying is, and also be humble. Okay. All right. Wow. Lord, you're really one-upping us. And that's what he's saying. Okay. I'm telling you, the ones that let me one-up them got that foundation. And the ones that say, that's too big. That's too much to ask. It's not that big a deal. They just built that house right on the ground. And it says here, I want you to be meek. I don't want you to judge anybody. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. That's all listed in there. And then he says, the ones that do that, they're building their house on a solid foundation. The ones that don't. So they all heard. Some said, I'm not doing that. I can imagine that. Especially that one where it said, like everybody, that makes sense, but love your enemies. Ooh. Do you not know what they did to me? And Jesus is like, hey, pot calling the kettle black. You don't know what they did to me? They crucified me. And I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I still loved them. I still died for them. And so he said, whew. So he's like, look, I told you how to get deep on that foundation. So some said, I'm not doing that. They got a weak foundation. Some said, oh, that's overkill. That person, they're overkilling Christianity. They're overkilling the fact that they're supposed to be the salt and the light. They're putting, you know, too much emphasis on it. That person that says that's going to have a weak foundation. Some said, well, if that's what God wants. And some said, well, if God, I love God more than I love anything else. So if that's what He says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in every facet. That this is how we get that strong foundation. So God was making the distinction between hearing only and hearing and doing. That was the distinction of this parable. So He was like, God was saying, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? This is what a lot of people would not read the Bible or go to church. So in other words, their mindset is ignorance is bliss. Okay, if this is the key, if you know me knowing the Scripture and doing the Scripture, if I don't know it, then I'm excused from doing it, right? A lot of people do that way with salvation. I don't know the real way of salvation, so I'm just not going to go to church. Who's right? I'm just going to give it. And yeah, they're going to have some consequences. They'll burn in hell. So same thing. As long as I don't know it, I'm not required to keep it, right? I'm not responsible for it. Wrong. Also, some people will give excuses. Well, I read it and I hear it, but I don't understand it. How many times have we heard that? I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. That's their built-in excuse. Well, get ready when you say, Lord, Lord, I need your help. Well, you read the Bible, but you don't understand it, right? So it says here, when we read it and hear it and obey it, it says here, he that hideth his word in my heart, I might not sin against them. Whatever our hand finds to do, do it with thy might, the Bible says. If we're going to be a bear, my coach used to tell us this all the time, my football coach in high school. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Don't be a panda. Don't be a polar bear. Don't be a brown or a black bear. No, be a grizzly. If you're going to be one, just be one. That's what he would tell us all the time. And so, if we're going to be the salt, we can't lose our savor. If we're going to be the light, we can't lose that source of that light. If we're going to be a Christian, we ought to be a good Christian. So what we're looking at in verse, I believe it's 47, is where the outline was going to come from. And we're going to see three criterias to build our house on a solid foundation. And he's like, look, okay, you understand that the parable here is the person that hears the Word of God but doesn't do anything. Versus the person that hears the Word of God and does what the Bible says. That's who we're comparing here. So three criteria to build on that solid foundation found in verse 47. It says here, whosoever cometh. You got to come. Now, even when Jesus was on the earth, you heard verses that says, and the multitudes follow him, and great multitudes came. A lot of them came because they wanted to get healed, right? They had leprosy, or their child was about to die, and a lot of people came and so forth, and a lot of them got saved. But guarantee there was a lot of people there that day because the Bible says multitudes. So a lot of them came. So it says here, God is not going to force himself on anybody. He's not going to make anybody come to church. And it's sad to say in our day and time, a lot less people come to church than even in this day probably where multitudes came. And sad to say in our day and time, there's multiple choices. Like, which church is right? Which doctrine's right? And so forth. But multitudes came, so a lot of them came. So coming is one of the criteria. However, coming is just the first step. Secondly, we have to, what does it say? He that cometh to me and heareth. Okay, there's a lot of people that come to church on Sunday morning, but, wake them up at the dismissal prayer.
In other words, they're there, but they're not hearing anything. All right? Or some of them come in and, you know, that preacher up there, he's loud and he's long, and so they just turn me off thanks to their hearing aids, right? And they don't hear. They're here. They came, but they're not hearing. And so the verse I was going to tell you about or read to you is Proverbs 28:9. It says, He that turneth away his ear from hearing. Okay, so there's some that they came, but they're on purpose not hearing. And some of you that's raising children, you know, hey, look at me right here. Why? Because if they're watching TV, they're not hearing you. All right? Or if they're playing a video game, they're not hearing you. Or if they're giving themselves a manicure, they're not hearing you. Hey, look right here. Pay attention. Why? Because I want you to hear me. All right? He that turneth away his ear from hearing, says here, hearing the law, the Bible, says here, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Wow, that's pretty serious. So it's not overkill for Jesus to expect us to do what the Bible says. Because he likens us, if we are hearing what he's saying, but we're not listening, or we're there, but we're not listening. I mean, he likens our prayer to, I mean, you want to list the abominations? Homosexuality? Bestiality? I mean, they're all right there in the Old Testament. Abomination, abomination, abomination. And so he says in Proverbs that if we come, but we don't hear the law, and don't do what the law says, that our prayer is abomination. So, I mean, it's just like, Lord, Lord, why are you calling me Lord? Why are you doing that? I've already told you what to do. So we got to hear. So not everyone that comes hears. We gave a couple examples of that. Here's one. Not everyone that hears comprehends. And of course, that's why the foundation of everything is salvation. Okay, because when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. And what did we learn in Sunday school last week about the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal the meaning. And the Holy Spirit will bring it to our memory. That's that foundation. We've got to get saved. So a lot of people, they come, but they don't hear. A lot of people hear, but they don't comprehend. Next, we see underneath here, not everyone that comprehends puts into practice. And again, this is where that choice is. I can't give the excuse that I didn't hear it. I can't even give the excuse that I didn't understand it. But I am going to say that my flesh don't like to do that, so I'm just going to do what I want to. I'm just going to live like I want to. I'm just going to look like I want to and sound like I want to and go where I want to and do what I want to. That's why Paul said, look, you can do everything you want to and you won't lose your salvation. I think he said all things are lawful, but then he says, but all things aren't expedient. So if you want to have that deep foundation, you got to hear what the Bible says and apply it to our lives. So we see that not everyone that'll hear. Not everyone that'll hear will comprehend. Not everyone that'll comprehend will actually put it into practice. But, you know, that man after that storm came, and he's like, whew, my house is still there. Praise the Lord. Wow, that's just awesome. God took care of me. God provided. God protected. And it was worth everything I learned in Sunday school, putting it into practice. It was worth everything that I learned in preaching and put it into practice to my family and how I built my home. And God just blessed. And then the one looking at flatness, his house is gone. I mean, he might be mad at God and tell God off. Or he might be sitting there going, man, I wish I'd have listened in Sunday school. I wish I'd have listened in church. I wish I'd have put it into practice. So we see here that come and hear. Then the third thing, what does it say in verse 47? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. Here it is. He keeps and. It's kind of like that list your parents gave you. I want you to clean your room and I want you to vacuum the living room and they keep and. Maybe your boss does that. I want you to do this and this and this and this. Woo! All right, so it's whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and, here it is, doeth them. Yeah, he's going to be the one, or she's going to be the one that's got on the foundation. So we see the three criteria for building on this solid foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ,
build our life on Him is come to Him. And I mean, there's a verse after, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, that those of you that aren't saved, and I'll save you. Come unto me, and those of you that don't know, I'll enlighten you. So we're supposed to come, hear, and then do. So do, so we see come, hear, and do is building our life on that solid foundation. So we see that there was multitudes that came. And the majority probably heard. But here's the sad thing is the minority actually put it into practice. And all the way through the Bible, it's called the remnant. Right? The remnant. The multitudes heard. And the multitudes came and the majority heard, but only the minority, that remnant, actually do. So coming, comprehending, and complying is what that verse says. If you'll do that, if you'll come to the Bible, come to church, come to God in prayer, hear what He says, and then actually do it. That says here, you comply. So, the house speaks of the life of the Christian. The foundation speaks of the obedience to the Word of God. So, our part. So, we see here, there's the three things that we got to do. All right. So, if you're going to build a house, and my dad and my mom, they designed it. I think it was on a napkin. Probably at Wendy's, I think, we were eating. My mom drew it out. But when she got home, she upgraded from a napkin to a piece of notebook paper. And that was our plans. And we built the house that I grew up in from about, I guess, 11 on. And we did it ourselves. We had to get a licensed electrician to hook it up and all that stuff. But we pulled the wires. We did it all. But most people, if they're going to build a house, there's some blueprints. There's some plans, all right? We're not most people. But we ought to have a plan. And so building that house takes some blueprints. Building a life obviously takes the Bible, and that'll help us with that sure foundation. We all have a life to build, and the only way we're only going to get one chance at this thing. Okay? Now, we have some oopses along the way, just like, you know, I've seen houses where the plumber messed up. Get some jackhammers and pull all the plumbing, redo it. All right, so we might have some chances to redo some things, but we only get one life, and so we need to build it on that sure foundation. So we see here: don't build your life on your own opinions or anyone else's opinion. Matter of fact. Again, no, God says, you know, if you come to me, Lord, Lord, and you've built your life on your own opinions, I'm going to just give you this parable here. You're going to be flattened. Why? Because you didn't do the work. You didn't do the extra work to build that foundation. So, it says here, don't build your life, obviously, on the world's beliefs or what we call socialistic stuff today, social media, you know, the news, the TV, the movie stars, all that. We don't need to build our life on that kind of stuff. We need to build on the Word of God. So we ought to build on the Word of God. So that was our plan. Number two, our priority. And so, of course, both of these guys had a plan to build the house. Again, looking at their houses, they probably looked pretty much cookie cutter, kind of like some subdivisions. They would have looked the same. But if one had a foundation and one didn't, you know they would be. So we have to have a priority. All right? I got a little wave there from the kids as they were going to the playground. Our priority to have a life that did not start from the top down, but the bottom up. Okay? You don't build a house from the peak or the roof, and you don't build it this way. All right? You got to go down that way, and then you build it up this way. And so that's what he's saying. Look, a person that does the work to get his life founded on Jesus Christ, on the rock, will be smarter because you can't build from the top down. You got to build from the bottom up. So understand it is imperative in nature to have that foundation and dig it deep. So our priority is to understand the process. Okay, we don't go out here and, you know, grab a homeless guy and, you know, give him a shower, which would be nice, haircut, which would be nice, new suit of clothes, which would be nice, throw the old King James under his arm, which would be nice, set him in the pew, which would be nice. And he'll say, okay, you're done. No. All right? You know, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to be a Christian. That's where you need to start. And so they had to get saved. And then it says that church was a very much of a priority. Growing in the Scriptures was very much a priority. Getting grounded in what they believe and how they practice was very much a priority. So these come, hear, and do, we had a plan and priority. And then here's the third thing, the price. If you were looking at the bottom dollar, all right, of the guy that had no foundation and the guy that had a foundation, you said, man, my house payment would be way less. Yeah. Yeah. Skirting religion and skirting God, it might be a lot of less time that you have to spend in church and spend in your Bible and spend praying. But what are you going to have when the storm comes or when the end comes? It'll be worth the price. I got to go to church. Oh, we get to go to church. Pay the price. Do that. So our price, the price of a home without a foundation would be substantially lower. But a lot more with that foundation. It would take more time. You know, again, we know the tortoise and the hare. All right. Just He won the race. Well, he didn't take time to rest. He didn't take time to sleep. It will take more time to build that foundation. It'll take more energy. The guy that didn't dig deep and didn't put that concrete down there, he wasn't as tired. So yes, it's going to take more. You're going to have to pay the price. There will be more challenges. There was digging, that's challenging. There was roots, that's challenging. There were other things that other people buried that was challenging to dig that foundation. It's going to be challenging, and it's not going to be as easy. But it is vital for the stability and the strength of the life, or the stability and strength of the house. So, in conclusion, I'm sorry, I got 3 points. Three other things real quick. I got to go. We see here that the stream was raging. And I already said that, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. Both houses experienced the flood. Both houses experienced the stream. So they beat vehemently. So we're going to face things in our life, even though we've dug a foundation, even though we're a Christian, even though we're trying to be the salt in life. We're going to face storms. He didn't say, all right, I'll just keep you from the storms. We're going to have them there. But the storms came, and suddenly and quickly, so it went from bright sunshine to darkness. And we've all been in those type of storms. I've been on a boat before fishing. And, you know, catching fish, looking at them. And you turn around, and that whole side of the earth is black. Oh, no. And, I mean, it could be on you quickly. And so it can happen. So during these storms, that stability and that strength and that structure was desired. So we see, first of all, the stream was raging. Secondly, we see here the structure was resilient. The structure was resilient. If it's built on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it's not going to be moved. The Bible says we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, and we'll bring forth our fruit, and we won't be able to be moved. That's the person that is not going to be moved. So the structure will be resilient. The storm was horrible on both houses. Yeah, but it only destroyed one because the foundation and the structure was strong. Luke 7:24 says this, "What went ye out into the wilderness for to see?" And this is talking about John the Baptist. Okay, he went out there, and I mean, he stood his ground to Herod. And we know the consequences was beheading. But it says in verse 24, it says here, "And the reed shaken with the wind." And so that storm of that threat of prison, that threat of killing you, didn't shake John the Baptist. Why? Because he had a deep foundation. Most people would have been wetting themselves and trying to get out of it, and let's make a deal. And John the Baptist said, whatever you want to do, not going to bother me. You can shake that wind all you want to. I'm not going to be moved. And so we see that John the Baptist was in prison for for rebuking Herod, but he stood his ground. He didn't budge, and he couldn't be shaken. Why? Because he had a foundation. So we see Jesus used the word unmovable to describe this house that was built on the rock. The house that had not been on the foundation was very movable. It was destroyed. So Jesus is the rock. He's the one holding us. So first of all, we saw the stream was raging and the structure was resilient. Number three, the stone was reliable. The stone was reliable. So when we become doers of the Word and not hearers only, I believe that's a verse, we see here that that foundation is Jesus is going to be solid and unmovable, unshakable in the moments of life. So the Word does not change. The Word does not falter. The Word does not crumble. Because that's what the Bible said. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Thy Word will never pass away. So we have the Word. So in conclusion, I tried to do this a while ago, but one, it says here, who didn't come, who didn't listen, and who didn't apply it or who didn't do it. So here, the first man planned and prepared and prioritized and put into practice and paid the price for his foundation, but the second man did not. So when the storms came, he encountered a severe failure. The other one wasn't shaken, wasn't moved. This guy that didn't listen, that didn't do what, he failed. So we see here his what failed. His listening failed. He was a hearer, but not a doer. He heard, but he did not. Trust it, and he refused it. He heard, but he failed to heed. So, first of all, he didn't hear. Secondly, we see his labor. So when they were building their life and building their house, it all looked like they were doing the same thing. He apprised to build a beautiful home just like the other guy did. He just didn't build a foundation. His house may have been even more beautiful, I think I've already said that, than the first guy's house. It took some effort, just not as much effort. He wasn't evil, or he wasn't lazy, or he wasn't slothful. He just didn't build a foundation. His material may have even cost as much, or could have cost more. Or maybe his house was even in a nicer part of town than the other guy. He just didn't build a foundation. So the problem was that he just was a surface Christian and not a solid foundation Christian. So the island of being, or the ideal of being unmovable, wasn't the case for him. It did shift. His labor was useless. It was all gone. It was in vain, is what the Bible says. If the Lord doesn't build the house, the laborer is in vain who buildeth it. So his listening failed, his labor failed, and then his loss. He lost everything. The same flood came to both houses. But the one still has his house. The other one lost his house. His house fell, and there was nothing underneath to hold it. So we see here his legacy. We saw his listening failed, his labor failed, his loss was a failure, and his legacy was a failure. It's even in the Bible today. Now, obviously, we know this was an example, a parable. But his house fell. His reputation fell. Shortcuts always going to lead to failure. Why didn't he listen? Why didn't he obey? He left nothing behind for his kids because the house was destroyed. So a man who builds his life on Jesus Christ, when the storms came, he will still have everything to leave as an inheritance. The person that didn't, he lost everything. So the man that doesn't build on Jesus Christ and the storms come, he could lose his family. He could lose his job. He could lose his house. Obviously, he could lose his self-dignity. What's the difference? It's right there in 47. Come, hear, and do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to look in your Word tonight, Lord. And we've looked at this parable that you left us. The letters are in red. And so we see that this person came and started talking to you, and you told him, hey, I've already told you what to do in the Bible, but you haven't done it up until now, so what's the difference? So maybe we should come and say, Lord, Lord, I know what the Bible says, and I know what I should be doing, and I haven't, so please forgive me and let me go forward. And Lord, I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to desire to have our life, our home, everything built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.